Blog Talk Radio.
Detail the podcast on a Saturday night, February 1st, 2014. I'm Dre. He's Jay. Jay is finally here. Two long weeks to wait for the big game. Finally, we get to do our preview. I don't know if I'm allowed to call it the Super Bowl preview show, so we'll go Super Duper Bowl preview, Super Duper Bowl 48, trying to avoid all the legalities. But hey, it's finally here. You ready to do this?
Yeah, we made it. You know, we started off as a little show of ours, started off back in September, had no idea what we were doing. Now we have a little more of an idea what we're doing, not much, but, you know, 44th show, and it's the Super Bowl, and I can't wait.
We have a small bit of an idea of what we're doing, yeah. So what we're going to do tonight is we're going to get right to our pick for the big game, and then Jason's going to break down a few of the interesting prop bets that are going on for the Super Bowl this year. There's so many of them. There's literally hundreds of prop bets you can go through. We'll talk about a few of the more interesting ones, but we'll start off with the serious stuff, the big game, the real deal, who we like, who we got. The Denver Broncos, the Seattle Seahawks, the AFC West champion, Denver Broncos, the former AFC West champion, Seattle Seahawks. Yes, young kids, these two teams used to be in the same division a long time ago. Now the current NFC West champion, Seattle Seahawks. They're so even in the numbers, in the matchups. It's the best Super Bowl matchup that we could have hoped for out of all the teams this season. This was the one, and it's so rare you get the one, the big matchup between the best team in the AFC and the best team in the NFC. But this year, I believe we got it. I don't know if anyone can really argue with that. Both of them 13-3 during the regular season, 2-0 in the playoffs. Both of them with 6-2 road records, if you want to consider this game in New Jersey as a road game for both teams. Well-documented, number one offense in Denver, number one defense in Seattle. The point spread was kind of bouncing a little bit. Started off Denver as a very slight favorite when the game was first made a couple of Sundays ago. Seattle was a favorite as the early money got put on Richard Sherman and the Seahawks. As we stand right now, it's Denver giving 2 points, basically a pick, really, when you think about it. But officially, it's Denver -2 versus Seattle, Super Bowl 48. Jason, who you got?
Yeah, this is one that I've being that our season competitively is over, I really just not had to go so much on you know, which I don't usually rely on stats or any of that. I'm picking who I want to win the game, because you know what? Damn it, I can do that. I don't have to worry about you going against me for the sake of it or this coming down to anything having to do with our season on the line. So I can really pick what I want to see, and what I want to see would be the big middle finger in the face of Roger Goodell and this offensive craziness going on in the NFL, and I want to see the Seattle Seahawks win the game. So I'm going to pick Seattle just because that's sort of what I want to see. Love defense. You know, I like, you know, that San Francisco-Seattle game. That was great football. Just watching two teams go out there and just sling the ball all over the field. That's great if you like arena football or if you like, you know, college football. But in the pros, I want to see guys get hit. I want to see guys make good defensive plays. I want to see a team have to earn everything they get on offense. And Seattle's going to make Denver do that. I don't think that Seattle is scared of Denver's offense. I don't think Seattle's actually – I don't think their defense is scared of anybody. They get after it. You know, they can pressure the quarterback. Peyton Manning isn't going anywhere. He's not Russell Wilson. He's not dangerous out of the pocket. You know where Peyton Manning's going to be. He does have the quick release, but it's going to really come down to will the Denver offensive line hold up and just really start to let the coverages break down, because you can't cover those guys out. There's too many guys that Denver has out there. You can't cover those guys for 6-7 seconds. So you've got to get some push. So I think we're going to see a little, you know, I think we're definitely going to see that chess match. I really don't think this game is going to be factored at all by the Seattle offense versus the Denver defense. Denver's defense is atrocious. So Seattle, I think, can make some moves on that defense. Even though the Denver defense has stepped up the last few weeks, it's one of those where it's like, eh, you know, can this really keep going? The other factor for me is I do tend to think, especially in the big games, the refs don't want to be the factor. So you tend to see games called a little more loosely. I think you'll see Seattle's defensive backs, and especially like Sherman and all these high-profile guys, I think you're going to see them let those guys play out there, which is, I think, very important for a team that relies heavily on their defense. If they're going to go out there, if it's a bad sign if they go out there and they start just calling ticky-tack, you know, illegal contact and holding and then really questionable stuff. I don't think we want to ever have a repeat of that last Seattle Super Bowl where the refs really took over. And I know the fans up in Seattle are still upset about that Super Bowl against Pittsburgh because it was just probably the worst officiated game I've ever seen on that big of a stage. So I don't think we're ever going to see that again.
Do we really see Matt Hasselbeck get flagged in that game for a personal foul because he threw an interception and then tackled the ball carrier?
Matt Hasselbeck threw an interception and then was flagged for unnecessary roughness when he tackled the guy. That was that was right around the same time we also saw in that same season or right around that same season. And we just saw this, I think we saw this a week or two ago where we actually saw a quarterback got flagged for roughing the passer on a sack.
Yeah, I remember that.
And
I don't remember exactly which
call.
Play that was, but yeah.
Yeah, I remember when it happened a long time ago because that was against, I think it was a Tampa Bay somebody else, but Tampa Bay was definitely involved and there was a bull rush on the quarterback and the guy got tackled, you know, he just got sacked. They called roughing the passer, even though he never actually threw the ball. Oh, he got hit so hard, we better just make this shit up on the spot and just throw a flag, hit the quarterback. Don't think the refs are going to be a factor here. I don't think I actually went so far as to find out who's officiating the game tomorrow. It's Terry McCauley. He's a good official. Only the good officials get this game. If we got some bullshit official like Walt Coleman, who's the worst official in the league, then I'd be worried that we'd start seeing some crazy calls going, you know, against Seattle here. But I think they're going to let these guys play. I think Seattle's defense is going to definitely get some shots to make big plays. Peyton Manning, I know Richard Sherman made fun of Peyton Manning for throwing the ducks, but he will put some balls up there that the Seattle defenders will have a chance at. If they can capitalize on those plays, flip the field, Seattle scores points when their defense gives them the short field. Russell Wilson loves to get to the 30, 40-yard line and start bombs away towards the end zone. That's their move with Seattle. If they can get across midfield, all of a sudden you see Russell Wilson trying to chuck that ball deep. So I like Seattle here. I want to see Seattle win because I would really like to see the team with the best defense be rewarded and not the Tecmo Bowl Peyton Manning 55-touchdown performance rewarded.
Wow. Folks, we did not make this up. We are going dead cold on the air. Did not know each other's picks before we started this show. So we're not making any kind of conflict up here. We could not be more different on what we're predicting or what we want to see tomorrow. I want to see the best offense in the history of the league by the numbers which would be the Denver Broncos. I want to see them polish it off with a Super Bowl ring. I want to see Peyton Manning get his second ring so that he's not always walking in Eli Manning's shadow, which is just wrong. He's so much better than Eli Manning. He's not going to catch up to Tom Brady, I don't think, with his 5 Super Bowl appearances and 3 rings. But he might. There's an outside chance. But I still think he's the best quarterback I've ever seen, better than Brady, better than Elway, better than anybody else. And I want to see him get his rings to justify that argument, because it's so hard to justify to people who look at the rings and just go by the rings. Some people think Joe Montana is the greatest quarterback of all time because he's got 4 rings. And it's just so ridiculous to me. Obviously, to me, Peyton Manning is the better quarterback, and I want to see him capitalize on his success, capitalize on the 4 neck surgeries coming back from all that. Nobody knew that he would ever make it back to the NFL, much less back to this level of play, breaking records. I mean, he didn't just come back. He's breaking records. He's throwing 55 touchdown passes, and he's just making a mockery of almost every defense that he came across this year. And I'm rooting for him to keep it going and get it done. And this, against the number one defense in the league, this is perfect. This is no excuses, no bullshit, no, well, you know, he kind of played a, you know, soft schedule, or, you know, got a lucky break in the Super Bowl. He's not playing the Chicago Bears. He's not playing the cover 0 defense where there's going to be somebody slipping on a banana peel and his receiver's going to be wide open down the field. He's playing a real team in the Super Bowl this time. He played a real team last time in the Super Bowl in the New Orleans Saints, and they beat him up a little bit and beat his receivers up and wound up taking the title. We didn't know that there was the bounty gate going on at the time with them, so it kind of makes sense when you look back at it. But, hey, there's the template, the physical, hard-nosed team that's willing to get a little dirty and bust some balls and spill some blood. That's how you beat Peyton Manning, and that's how you beat his receivers. And I think that exactly because of that, as well as all the other stuff in the NFL over the last few years with concussions and whatnot, it's exactly why I think the opposite of Terry McCauley. I think he is going to call a tight game, because this is on the worldwide stage. This is Roger Goodell in attendance. This is everybody's watching you. I don't think Roger Goodell is going to allow a team to dominate his wonderful, free-flowing offensive juggernaut. Like you say, Jason, that you want to see his beloved offensive style of football, his arena football, get smashed and broken into little pieces. I don't think they're going to allow that to happen. If I can be Mr. Conspiracy Theory, that's reason number one right off the bat that I have Denver to win this game, is because I think the referees are going to call it tight and not let Richard Sherman and the rest of the Legion of Boom get away with a lot of the pre-throw contact and activity that they do. They take 5 yards downfield and add 10 more yards to it as far as the assaulting that they do on the receivers going downfield. I don't think they're going to let that. I don't think they're going to let them get away with that. I really don't. My number two reason is because I've said all along that if you pass rush Russell Wilson, the Seattle quarterback, that you can make him get out of the pocket, and that's the wrong thing to do against him. He's much better when he's scrambling, when he's under pressure, when he's outside the pocket. And I don't think Denver's pass rush is very good. They had 41 sacks this year, which is not bad, but a lot of that was with Von Miller, who's not going to play. I don't really like Denver's pass rush. I don't think they're going to get very far upfield. And that's going to make Russell Wilson stand in the pocket and make good decisions, which, call me a hater, but I don't think he's proven that he's very good at that yet. He's got a ways to go in that area. You can see him and Colin Kaepernick, you can see the potential in both of them. You can see how good they both can be, but you can also see their weaknesses. It's very clear. It's very plain to see what their weaknesses are. Kaepernick's weakness is that he has no touch on his passes. And Wilson's weakness to me is that he has poor decision-making skills when in the pocket and having to try to dissect coverages. So that's my reason number two. And reason number three is that after all the stir and drong about the weather, it looks like it's going to be pleasant for football conditions. It's going to be chilly in the low 40s, 30s, dropping into the 20s apparently as the game goes on, but very light wind and very low chance of precipitation. And as we know, as we've seen, Peyton Manning in windy, chilly conditions has not fared very well, but I don't think those conditions are enough to make him, you know, throw ducks that go to the other team. He's going to still throw his ducks, but I think this is the type of conditions that's going to allow him to throw his ducks where you think you're going to get a hand on it, a fingernail on it, and it's just out of your reach, somehow just barely floating into the hands of his intended receiver. He did that all year against every other defense, and I think he's going to do it again tomorrow against the number one defense in the league with some assistance from the referees. I really do think this game's going to be called tightly. They've got two things to watch for. It's not just Seattle's defense, it's Denver's offense. We saw what Wes Welker did to Aqib Talib in the AFC title game. I don't think that was an intentional taking out of the best cornerback on the other team, but it was a rub play, a pick play, whatever you want to call it. And I think they've got a little bit to watch out for there, too. We'll see if they let Denver get away with their rubs and their picks. They're going to have to really be tight on that because Denver's so good at putting that rub on right as the ball is getting to the intended receiver, which makes it legal at that point. It's really borderline. It's really a hair's width whether they do it before the ball gets to the receiver or not. They're very good at that. So we'll see how tightly they call that as well. But, yeah, I'm not trusting Russell Wilson in the Super Bowl spot over Peyton Manning. That's a little bit too much of a advantage experience-wise, talent-wise, just everything, as far as I'm concerned, for the most important position in sport at the quarterback position. So much advantage leans towards Denver. Obviously, the youth and the speed advantage goes to Seattle, but I don't know how much, again, Russell Wilson's going to be able to use that speed because Denver, I don't think, is going to put him under all that much pressure. So I'm going to go with the Broncos. I'm calling it, this is going to sound like I'm completely hating Seattle, but I'm calling it 34-15. I think it's going to be Peyton Manning taking advantage of Seattle's aggressiveness early and getting some big plays because Richard Sherman and the boys think they're going to just run in and raise hell and destroy Denver right from the get-go, and he's going to take advantage of that. I don't think they're going to touch Peyton Manning in the backfield. They've been playing so much shotgun. The Broncos have had him back in shotgun so much. I don't think Seattle's pass rush is going to get there and get pressure on him. As good as their pass rush has been all year long, I think Peyton's going to get rid of the ball too quick. He's going to be in shotgun the whole time. It's going to take so much longer to get back there to him, longer than it would most other quarterbacks, and I don't think that's going to be much of a factor. So I got Denver pretty big tomorrow in Super Bowl 48.
Well, we get to end our season on an interesting note. But now given that we haven't had much any drama here during the last couple weeks of the playoffs, with the sort of more like a funeral procession to your season going through the playoffs, as just watching those points just tick away against you. So this will be fun. I mean, it's just we disagree. It doesn't, in terms of what we do competitively, it doesn't mean anything. But maybe you could get some bragging rights. Say, well, you know what? Yeah, but I won the Super Bowl pick.
That's right. That's all I can go for. I have nothing else to play for.
I'm not going to get cute and say I think Denver's going to win, 24-23 and be like, ha-ha-ha, Denver's going to win by one. So I get Seattle. It'd be great if I could get that. That's something I would pull out against you if I had to go against you on the pick to win the year, because then I'd totally win that.
Of course.
Not just that I have Seattle. I have Denver to win. but not cover the spread, but not necessarily to win the game. I'm going to go 26-24. I think it's going to be very close. I think it's going to be close all game long. I don't think one team is really going to be able to get – I think Seattle's defense is good enough that they will turn a few Denver drives into field goals. And I think that's going to be the difference in the game. I really do think that the Seattle defense, I don't think it's going to be just Peyton Manning up and down the field all game long. I think there'll be some mistakes, and it doesn't necessarily mean Peyton Manning mistakes. They could force a fumble. There could be some special teams chicanery going on. You know, all kinds of things can happen that don't necessarily mean that Peyton Manning's going to go out there and make the big bad play, where he's going to throw the pick at the end, which, I mean, he's been known to do. You know, he threw the pick six in the Super Bowl against the Saints. He's ended some seasons for his team with some bad plays and the game against Baltimore last year, which I still will say should have never gotten to that point because Denver had no business giving up the 77-yard touchdown pass to tie the game to begin with. Peyton Manning should have won that game. It's very possible we could be talking about Denver in back-to-back Super Bowls. Had that strangeness not happened. But, you know, Baltimore did their thing. They got the magic, and they went on, and they won it. Good for them. We had that, which was nice.
That's another reason why I feel good about taking Denver. Raheem Moore won't be out there.
Yes. I did have Denver to make the Super Bowl, but I did have them to lose. So I'm at least going to stay consistent. I didn't have them losing, of course, to Seattle. I had them losing to the Giants, which I am still just blown away by how awful that Super Bowl pick went. But I did have Denver to get there. I did like that team. They are loaded. I will give them that. And if it does end up being Roger Goodell and conspiracy theory and it really starts to feel like the refs are controlling the game, then, yeah, Seattle's got no shot. And it could get ugly quick. And that's why, I mean, if it's midway through the first quarter and you've started to see all kinds of crazy illegal contact and illegal hands to the face and just ridiculous penalties going against Seattle, it could be a long Super Bowl. It could even be a long Super Bowl to watch if it starts going that way, which I really hope it doesn't happen.
It just feels like the referees hold it in their hands how this result can go. If they let everything go and let the more physical team do what they do, then Seattle probably would go ahead and romp and do what they've been doing all year. And if they take it control and choke it off and call it tightly, then, yeah, the more disciplined team should prevail, which would be Denver and Peyton Manning.
Seattle does have experience. You know, this isn't like Seattle's rolling into this game. And this is the first high-powered offense they've played. They handled New Orleans, probably the next most competent offensive team in the league with the weaponry. You know, semi-competent running game and then loaded at the receiver position with an all-pro quarterback. That's about the best I can give from that standpoint. You know, they have a world-class tight end. They have good wideouts, you know. So New Orleans, you know, very good offensive team, and Seattle handled them one time really easy, and then the second time kind of just wore them down. And that's the one thing I think is going to be important for Seattle, is if they can keep the score from getting out of hand early, they have a chance to come away late, because Marshawn Lynch just has that ability to, like, runs in the first and second quarter that don't look like much turn into 30, 40, 50-yard touchdown runs in the second half. And it's just that battering ram the whole game long. Well, if this gets into Peyton Manning throwing a lot of touchdowns early, I don't know if Seattle's going to be able to lean on the running game very much. So it's really going to be up to that Seattle defense to just keep – their goal needs to be hold them to field goals. That should be their goal. Don't keep them out of the end zone. I mean, don't keep them off the scoreboard. Don't shut them out. Make it about field goals, because if you can hold Denver to three – you've just earned yourself another possession or another two possessions every time you can hold them out of the end zone. It'll be fun to watch, though. I'm excited for this one. This is a good Super Bowl.
I would actually predict that Beast Mode is not going to get off tomorrow, and the reason why is actually going to be Daryl Bevel. I think that in this spot in the Super Bowl, Daryl Bevel, the offensive coordinator of the Seahawks, I think he's going to outthink himself a little bit, and he's not going to commit to the run for Seattle the way that he did during the regular season and the playoffs, because it's easy to get a team that you have a physical advantage against and just slam Marshawn Lynch 4, 5, 6, 7 times in a row and wind up wearing them down and breaking through, like you said, in the second half, taking advantage of a tired defense and breaking off one of those patented beast mode runs. I don't think Daryl Bevel is going to do that. I think he's going to try to show his genius. He's got Percy Harvin back in the slot. I think he's going to have Russell Wilson attempting to run a more sophisticated offense and show off a little of their what they think their weaponry is, which isn't much of a weaponry. But I actually think that beast mode is going to be a little bit neutered in this game. I'm not going to say completely shut down, but, you know, he's not going to go up the middle very hard because Pot Roast Knighton will be waiting for him. You know, he's can have some success going to the outside, but I just don't think that Seattle's going to do that over and over and commit to the run. It's I can't remember the last team that got to the Super Bowl and totally sold out committed to the run like that because it's the big stage and everybody gets a little crazy and starts thinking they have to pull out these trick plays and show their geniusness and have their quarterback do all these crazy tricks. And I just don't think Russell Wilson's equipped for that.
Yeah, it's ironic. I believe the last really good rushing performance I remember seeing a team have in the Super Bowl, and I hate to bring this up to you, was when the Colts beat the Bears. If you go back and look at that, that was Joseph Addai and Dominic Rhodes, I believe, was the other back, just ripping off chunks that entire game against that vaunted Bears defense. And it was raining, and I know Peyton Manning had a nice game, but what I really remember is those two running backs just blowing it up right through the hole, following the lead blocker, just putting a hat on Brian Urlacher, laying him on his ass for the whole game, and Dominic Rhodes and Joseph Addai just going off in the rain in Miami. Last time I remember a team just really committing itself to running the ball in the Super Bowl. And that was a testament to a team understanding their opponent, understanding the conditions, understanding the moment, not putting it all on Peyton Manning's shoulders and just completely just decimating that Bears defense, especially after the Bears came out, ran this kickoff back for the touchdown with Esther to start the game off. And the first thing you know, it's like, oh, here we go. Peyton Manning's going to lose this one. 7-0 Bears. This Rex Grossman's going to be a Super Bowl champion. And, going back in my mind, it's the last time I really remember a team effectively running consistently in the Super Bowl.
And
I don't count Willie Parker,
quarterback,
the 70-80-yard touchdown run, because that was just a fluke, like a backbreaker, more than it was a team just committed to the run. But he did have a great day, but that was padded by one huge run.
Yeah. And what quarterback would you trust more to recognize coverage that would allow him to audible out and get his running game going more than Peyton Manning? You could see another repeat of a team taking over on the ground and running consistently because Peyton Manning is his own, basically, offensive coordinator. And you say, ironically, what team has ran and committed to the run, the Indianapolis Colts with Peyton Manning, you could see a repeat of that tomorrow. Jason, who's your X factor for this game?
I hate to go this route on my X factor, but if Seattle's going to make anything happen, it's got to be Mr. Glass, Percy Harvin.
And I'll kind of go a similar direction. I think if it's close, this really might be the X factor. What breaks the game open is kick return coverage. I'm stealing your X factor from last year. I'm going with Trendon Holliday for the Denver Broncos. That's right.
You can't do that to
Might
me. That was like my greatest X factor. That was my greatest X factor pick of all time, and you just stole it from me.
I just stole it right from you. What can I say? There it is, folks. Heads up tomorrow in the Super Bowl. Jason's got the Seahawks, and I've got the Broncos. More Super Bowl talk on the other side of this break. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes. Just search for A Much Less Detailed Podcast. All right, that brings us to our after-show portion of the program. Last 15 minutes before the big game tomorrow.
Right, and what I did was, I know we talked about this a few weeks ago, what we wanted to do, and we wanted to talk about prop bets. So I went through, there's over 115 prop bets, and they're silly, some of them, you know, like how long is the national anthem going to go for? Will LeBron James score more points than the Denver Broncos? Just crazy stuff like that. So what I did was I said I picked out 7 prop bets. And I said if I had 100 bucks to put, no, I didn't, but if I was in Vegas and I had 700 bucks burning a hole in my pocket, these are the 7 prop bets. In my hand here, I have the 7 prop bets that I would make. And you're hearing this for the first time, Andre. So you're going to hear my prop bet wisdom for the first time I've ever done this live on the radio. These are the 7 prop bets I made, and then we will track this and we will see as best as we can on Wednesday's recap show how I did with my $700. My first prop bet's a bit cruel, but if I had $100 to put on this bet, and this is really where I'm screwing myself on my pick, there's a 23% chance in this game that my X Factor, Percy Harvin, Mr. Glass, leaves with an injury. $100 though pays plus 300 on Percy Harvin leaving this game with an injury. I know that's benefiting on the pain of others. I believe it or not, had this one in my mind all week. I just looked at the prop bet list tonight, hoping that they would have some kind of a Percy Harvin bet, like how many offensive snaps he would have or how far into the game he would go and get hurt. I don't think he made it out of the first quarter against San Francisco. But they only gave a 23% chance of him leaving the game with an injury, which I think is really low. But plus 300, I just think that's an easy way to make some fast money. I don't know what you think about that.
That is awful cruel. Of course, you're the king of cruel, as everyone will discover once we talk about your different fantasy team names over the years. That's a show we'll have to get to in the off season. So you like cruel. You can be cruel sometimes. The first thing I would think of for that particular bet is I would wonder what they consider getting knocked out of the game. Does he have to get knocked out of the game never to return to the Super Bowl? Or is it okay if he gets knocked out for a play and then comes back in the game? I don't know exactly what the situation is, what the stipulations are for that pick.
Well, we don't actually know. I just went through the list of all the proper bets. There were no stipulations on any of these, so we'll have to watch the game. I will let you decide on Wednesday I win that bet. Obviously, if he makes it through the whole game, you can tell me I lost a bet, which we would know, but if he gets knocked out,
what's the actual wording on that bet?
I will look that up here really quick. Knocked out of the game by an injury. So if he leaves and does not return, I win $300 on my $100 bet. Not as long odds on this one. I went with the chances that both teams in this game will kick a field goal longer than 33 yards. Crazy. There's a lot of these bets, and I know some of them sound crazy, but I highlighted on that one. It pays a plus 170. So my $100 bet wins me 170 if Matt Prater and Steven Hauschka, big legs on both of those guys, if each one of them make a field goal over 33 yards, which means you only need to get to about the 17-yard line and stall.
Yes.
They have both teams kick a 33-yard field goal. So I'm going with that one as a plus 170.
I think I like that one. Both those kickers are – you have to start off by looking at, I would think, the quality of your kickers. I'm a complete sports nerd, so I go back and watch the Super Bowl the year before on tape because I'm the last guy out there with videotapes taping every game. And I do that for the NBA Finals and the World Series as well. So there's always – it's fascinating to me. There's always like a laundry list of things that I've completely forgotten about from the year before. I've forgotten that last year San Francisco was going into the Super Bowl with a kicker they really didn't trust because David Akers had been on this horrible cold streak. So that bet, the odds you probably last year for that particular bet would have been even longer because he was on a very cold streak. So I would start out looking at the quality of both kickers for that pick, and I do like the quality of both kickers, Stephen Hauschka and Matt Prater. And then the weather conditions, as I already pointed out, look like they're going to be pretty much ideal for a winter football game. It's about as good as you could hope for this time of year. I could definitely see both those kickers going for field goals longer than 33 yards. That would not surprise me in the least.
The next prop bet I went with is a 50-50. So you bet 100, you win 100. So you basically just did the doubler. You double your money, right?
Sure.
This one was a mentions one, so I don't know how I'm going to verify this. I'll probably have to do a little research after the game or just try to pay attention to the broadcast of which will be mentioned more, Denver having the number one offense or Seattle having the number one defense. I am going to say, even because if Denver scores a ton of points, they're going to say, well, they're doing it against the number one defense. And if Seattle, I think it's skewed towards them mentioning the Seattle number one defense more than the Denver number one in the league offense. That's the way I went. I would put my $100 on them mentioning the Seattle defense being number one more.
That's interesting because I thought it was going to, I thought you were going to say the opposite, that if Denver scores a lot of points, it's going to be, this is Fox, right? The Super Bowl's on Fox this year. It's going to be Joe Buck licking Peyton Manning's asshole and saying, there goes the number one offense once again, proving why they're the number one offense in the league. And Troy Aikman, don't you agree with me that that's the number one offense of all time and blah, 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 blah. So I think they're going to have,
okay.
I don't know, I thought maybe he'd be mentioning the number one offense more because of, you know, everyone loves Peyton Manning. So I don't know about that one. That's tough to lean towards because you're going on the commentator's whim, and that's somewhat hard to predict, but I would lean towards them mentioning Peyton Manning as the number one offense more.
No, see, well, we disagree there. That's interesting. It's a lot of disagreement, Another interesting one here is the over-under is 75.5. This is an interesting one. For the sum total of all the yardage on the touchdown scoring plays in the game. So for all the touchdown plays in the game, 75.5 yards total, some yardage. For all the touchdown scoring plays, I'm going over. I think there are going to be a couple of long touchdowns. There's a potential for a long, you know, Marshawn Lynch could rip off a long touchdown run. You get 30 yards right there. You could have what you like, a possible kickoff return. That automatically, you win the bet right there.
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't say it's offensive. Yeah. It doesn't matter if it's defensive. You get a nice long pick six. I think you're going to have some explosive plays in this game from both teams. I think that's an easy bet as a way over 75.5 for all the total yardage on all the touchdown scoring plays.
I'm with you 100% on that one, buddy. That sounds like an easy one to me. I don't think Russell Wilson can throw a touchdown pass that's less than 40 yards because he's not that good at picking out defenses, which is why I'm picking against him. So right off the bat, yeah, you know, 50 yards in the air to Doug Baldwin, and you're three-quarters of the way there. And then even if Peyton Manning throws three little 10-yard touchdown passes, that adds up. So, yeah, I would think that's an obvious over bet to me as well.
Well, I know for sure you and I disagree on this next one. Over under 14 being the biggest lead by either team in the game. You, of course, have Denver winning by 19, so you are over. I am under. I think this game stays close enough that neither team gets more than a 2-touchdown advantage at any point during the game. I mean, don't have to expand on that one too much because you picked the score 34-15, so it says everything. I'm putting my 100 on this game staying tight. Of course, if the game gets to exactly 15, it's a push. But we'll see.
Yeah,
I have it staying under 14. I have it staying under 14 for the biggest lead of the game. I'm definitely going, this is back to a plus bet. I'm going the plus 150 for one single mention in the broadcast of Russell Wilson being drafted in the Major Baseball League. One mention in the game that Russell Wilson was drafted to play Major League Baseball. Just one. I'm going yes with a plus 150.
I concur. It's Joe Buck. He's Mr. World Series. I don't think it's going to be close. I can see them pulling out the whole, package, the photos of him swinging a bat for the Texas Rangers. I think Texas had him in their system. I can see
he's
him going
through
the whole
system
thing
right now, actually. Believe it or not.
And he was,
Texas
and
actually
he was
picked
by
him up
Colorado?
In the Rule 5 draft or something this year or something because they just want to bring him in, just like go to spring training just to be a positive influence on the club, which is actually kind of a neat story.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
Russell Wilson actually
said
he'd be interested in going down there and just hanging out with the guys and playing a little spring training baseball. I don't know how his football contract is going to like that, but I don't think he's opposed to the idea of going down there and hanging out with the Texas Rangers in spring training. So we'll see if that happens. It's an interesting little storyline, but seems like easy money. It's only a plus 150, but...
He wouldn't be going if Bill Belichick was his coach, I guarantee you that.
I know you totally disagree with me on this one because we totally see this game going in different directions. I wanted to do a long shot bet, like a crazy bet. I'm going to win a ton of money. I would, and of all the ones that are crazy, like Russell Wilson throwing for 500 yards or six touchdowns, just crazy bets. Like, I told you before we went on air, Russell Wilson won't throw for 500 yards. They played this game four times and totaled them up for all four games. I went with Marshawn Lynch having a 200-yard game.
Woo!
On the ground at 35-1.
Wow, that's roulette odds.
Yeah, why not? Always bet on black.
What's Lynch's number, 28?
28. Yeah, so is that, you're saying I,
walk,
that,
walk
that hits,
table
I need
and
to go
put
play
it on 28?
Yeah, that, there you go. One, put that $100 on the wheel, put all those numbers on 28. That's it. And, 35-1 if Marshawn Lynch, two Bills tomorrow. It, of all the crazy long-shot bets, that was the only one that jumped out like seemed like even a realistic possibility. There was the one where Peyton Manning could throw six touchdowns. Maybe that would be the second one I would even think about going with. I'm just not seeing that against this defense. That's like a really – I think it's a long shot. That's 20-1, so it's not even like a crazy long shot. Marshawn Lynch, 35-1 to go for two Bills. That's only going with it because it pays off. You know, if I put $100 on it, I win $3,500. I'd be pretty happy if that happened.
I agree.
My luck,
that'd
be
very hard
one and then get stuffed for 2 yards and then finish at 199. Or he'd be at 130 yards and break off a 75-yard touchdown run that gets called back on holding.
Oh.
Just something ridiculous.
Mass suicides in Las Vegas if that happens.
Yeah, for all the people that put money on that. But those are my seven. We'll see how much money. We'll total it up as best as we can, see how much money off of that $700 that I would have won on the recap show on Wednesday. So we're not just doing this to bullshit. We'll see how much I won or lost.
There it is, folks. Our big time preview of Super Duper Bowl 48 between the Broncos and the Seahawks. You can email the show with questions or comments in much less detail at gmail.com, at our blog in much less detail.blogspot.com. Our Twitter, I'm at IMLB Dre. Jason's at IMLB JTG. We will see you guys Wednesday night to recap the Super Bowl. See you then.